We've been studying in the book of Peter about who we are in Christ. Last week we were looking at we were a chosen generation. Today we're going to look at the fact that we are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 4 through 8. Now, Peter in chapter 2, verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. As John is addressing the seven churches, he also teaches about believers being priests. So we're going to start in Revelation, and then we're going to go back to 1 Peter. So we'll follow this track. Shall we pray before we study? Father in heaven, I praise your holy name for the salvation you've given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death, dwelling in us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, you've revealed to us in your word that you teach us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us from Scripture what to understand and how it applies to us, and then you empower us to walk in obedience. So, Father, I pray now that as we study your word, you will give us instruction by your Spirit. I pray that you'll keep the evil one from us. And, Lord, then help us to understand and see how this passage applies to us personally. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Revelation chapter 1. Beginning in verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. You may be seated. When John was addressing these believers, notice here what he says in verse 4. He made us a kingdom and priest to his God. Now, let's go back to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. And we're told in 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Well, let's think about being priest before God. What does that mean? Now, I want you to go first to chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and let's look in chapter 1. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now we've told we are a royal priesthood and a holy priesthood. Well, let's look at this holy priesthood first. Holy means to be separated from the world. So God has separated us from the world through Jesus Christ, his Son. When the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into the world to die for the sin of his people, he called us to himself. He called us to be different. If you look in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, there God did the same thing when He brought His people out of Egypt. He separated them from the Egyptians. And He separated them from the world. And He dedicated those people strictly to Himself. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you and I have been separated from the sinfulness and ungodliness of this world. God has separated us from all of that sin and ungodliness. And then the other part of holiness is to be dedicated to God and God alone. And so you and I have been dedicated to God to be totally different from the world. So being priest means, first of all, we're separated from the world, from all the sinfulness, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, ascension into heaven. We've been separated from the world. We shouldn't be like the world. And we've been dedicated to God. Now, the next thing we look at about this priesthood, it's a royal priesthood. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus, in His first sermon, said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's how one enters the kingdom of heaven, by repenting of their sin. Confessing the sin. Repent means to be sorry for the sin and turning away from it. And the reason being, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus says in Luke that the kingdom of heaven is present amongst us. And so the kingdom of heaven is present in the hearts of those who have Christ as Savior. So we are in a kingdom. We have a King, Jesus Christ. And so we are in the kingdom of God. In Colossians, Paul tells us that we've been separated from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are in a spiritual kingdom. Jesus Himself said that His kingdom was not of this world. He never denied the fact that He was a king when He was asked by Pilate. But He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so we are different inwardly, and our souls have been freed from that bondage of sin and death. So we're different. That's what makes us a holy priesthood, and this is what makes us a royal priesthood, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Now, what does that play out in our daily living? Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I didn't finish verse 5. I stopped a little early. So let's look at verse 5. We're told that we're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So you and I, as priest, as royal priest and holy priest, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do this? And what is it that we do? Well, now I want us to turn back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a great commentary on the priesthood of Christ, obviously. And we see what it means for us to be royal priest as well as holy priest. And first we go to Hebrews chapter 9. Verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Notice here how we have been purified in our conscience. We have been set aside to offer sacrifices to God. And Jesus did this. Jesus never offered a sacrifice in the temple. Think about it. He never offered a sacrifice in the temple. He offered himself as a sacrifice for us before God, shedding his blood and cleansing us for eternal redemption. So you and I have eternal security in Christ. And notice here what we are to do as priests. Look at in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 14, the very last phrase. To serve the living God. As priests, we are to serve the living God. We're not to serve ourselves. We're good at that. It's all about me, myself, and I, and what I want, and what I like, and what I don't like. No, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, as priests, our primary purpose is to serve the living God. Now, don't think all of you have to go to seminary and get degrees and become preachers. No, no, no. Separation from the world doesn't mean we all run out and join monasteries and don't ever get connected with the world. No, that's not what he meant. It's a spiritual separation. It's living a holy life. But the focus of our lives should be Jesus Christ. Serving Him. Being willing to be used of God by any way He wants to use you and me. Are you willing to do that? Twice I've prayed, Lord, do anything you want to with me. I've ended up in Thailand and in Russia and in Honduras. But I've been here much longer than I was in those three places. And God has kept me here for all these years to serve Him, not you. Think about it. Are you willing, as a priest of God, to say, here I am, send me? That's what Isaiah said when God called Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, God said, whom shall go for us and whom will I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And the way that's worded in the Hebrew, it means that Isaiah volunteered. He stepped forward and said, here am I, send me. Are you and I willing to be used of God in that way? I don't know where He's going to send you. I mean, I've been here all these years, 100 years now. I'm still here. But He's going to use you and me every day where we are in our daily routine. And so am I willing as a priest of God to serve Him and Him alone wherever He places me? Now, let's go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Notice here, the priest in the Old Testament had to offer those sacrifices many times during the day. But when Christ came, Christ offered Himself one time, and it's good for eternity to free us from our sin. Which means there's nothing you and I can do to work for, to earn, or to merit our salvation. It is all by God's grace. All by God's grace. And you know, when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I would encourage you to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We go to Ephesians 2, 1, and it says, "And you were once dead in trespasses and sin." Spiritually dead. Not able to understand anything spiritually because we were dead. Not able to make a spiritual decision pleasing to God because we were spiritually dead. And then you go down to verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." There's not a believer on this earth, a real believer, who would ever stand up and say, "Man, I saved myself. I found Christ." No, Christ found you. And it's all by His grace. You ever wonder why God chose you? I do. I mean, not why He chose me, not why He chose you. I'm sorry. I thought I'd be looking for a job tomorrow. But you think about it. You think about this, being dead in trespasses and sin. But God commends His love toward us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is not a thing in this world, in any of us, that would cause God to love us and to choose us. But He did. That's humbling to me. I imagine it is to you. "Lord, why would you choose me?" That's awesome. And then we get to verse 10. Verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them." There's where the works begin. That's where the priesthood begins, in serving the Lord after salvation. After salvation. And notice He says, we are ordained for these good works. God directs you and me as His priest for these good works. Now look at the last phrase in verse 10, "that we should walk in them." That's a subjunctive verb. It's conditional. It means I might not walk in them. You and I have great potential for obedience as we're led by the Holy Spirit. We also have great potential to be stubborn and rebellious and disobedient. God, we're not a bunch of puppets. We are not a bunch of puppets. We are made in the image of God, and the Spirit of God lives in us, and the Spirit of God directs you and me through the Word and through brothers and sisters in Christ to love each other, to love the Lord and to serve Him. The question is, will I be obedient? Am I listening to the Lord and obeying Him and doing these good works? That's crucial. And so as a priest, we are serving God. We want to know the good works He wants us to do. And we accept all of His grace and mercy and forgiveness by faith. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Let's stay in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 19. Let's go to verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Notice He says here in verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, in the temple, they had the Holy of Holies. And the high priest was the only one that could enter the Holy of Holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement to put the blood there to atone for the nation of Israel. And nobody went in there other than the high priest that one time. And if anybody went in there, they died. But you and I in Christ are in the holy places all the time. That's what worship is. When we come in here of a morning to worship, in the afternoon to worship, when we come in on Wednesday night for our Bible study, which is worship, and brothers and sisters, when you sit down in your homes and you open the Word of God for your daily devotion, you are entering the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ. You and I have that privilege of going into His presence anytime, any place, and we enter it with confidence. That's what Christ has done for us. And as His priest, we can do that as well. Charles called off a list of names of brothers and sisters who have physical needs. Brothers and sisters, every one of us in this room, including myself, have spiritual needs. Every one of us are struggling in some form or fashion spiritually. Satan has a war going on, and every one of us are targets. And some days are harder than others. Some of us have worries and anxieties and uncertainties. Some of us are facing decisions and we just don't know which way to go. Well, I can tell you which way to go. You can go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of the Father, and pray. And when you and I go in there and pray, pour your heart out to Him. Pray like Hannah did, 1 Samuel chapter 1. But when you do that, take time to listen to what He has to say, what the Lord, how He responds to you. We have confidence to come in. And that's why you and I have the confidence to gather here on the Lord's Day to worship Him. We are coming into His presence to praise Him. Now let's go back to verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Now, we know how to stir each other up. You have anybody in your life that knows how to push your button? That's not necessarily a good button to push either. Yesterday, I was sitting at a traffic light. I shouldn't drive. The light turns green, and guess what? The car in front of me is just sitting there. I said, Lord, blow it off the road. And I tried to see the driver, and guess what I saw? I wish I had an army tank to drive around this town. I don't want to kill anybody, but boy, I want to scare the living daylights out of them. You know, that just irritates us. I could stir, that person stirred me up, but not the right way. But we're to stir each other up as priests. We're to stir each other up to worship the Lord and not to encourage each other to stay away from worship. When I first came here, it was not anything to have teas and showers and everything on Sunday afternoon, which would wipe everybody out from worshiping on Sunday night. I just couldn't understand that. And we do birthdays and anniversaries and do all this stuff on Sunday. And what does it do for you in your worship? And what do we do on Saturday nights? I mean, we're in the height of idolatry. I mean, the football season, I'm sorry. It just slipped. You know? I'm guilty. I'm telling you, I'm just as guilty as you are. But I like to watch teams that I don't have any investment in because I don't get all stirred up by them. I just don't care who wins. I just see good football. We won't go any further, okay? But what do you and I do to encourage each other to worship on the Lord's Day? What do you do to encourage one another? There used to be a couple here that didn't want to OD on religion, so about every 3 or 4 weeks they'd take a Sunday off. Just sleep in, take the day off. Don't ask me to explain that. I don't understand how a Christian could do that. We don't need to do that. With the war that we're in, spiritually speaking, with the instruction from the Word of God that we need, the encouragement that you and I receive by being here together. I somehow, I don't know how to figure this one out, but I wish each of you had the opportunity to sit up here in the morning worship service and hear the response of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. That one voice, woof, wow, what an encouragement. And the singing of hymns. I know when you know the words and when you love the hymn, and I know when you don't. But to stand and lift our voices in praise and adoration with thanksgiving to God for who He is and how He's worked and the salvation that we have in Him. When we raise our voices together to God, wow, you ever wonder what He's thinking? It's got to be awesome to Him when He hears us do that. And even for those of us who sing out of pitch, off key, and everything else, because He listens to our heart. And how encouraging that is when we gather to worship like that. But we need to stir each other up to love one another, to do good works, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And notice he says, as the manner of some. There were some that this author was writing to that didn't worship. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. In chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Oh my goodness, to offer up the sacrifices of our lips. You know, when God blesses us and provides and protects, when He gives us spiritual insight and understanding and wisdom, and He just moves in our lives, what do we say? What do we say? When someone sees God working in your life and they comment on it, what is our response? Oh yeah, that worked out real well, didn't it? Man, I was lucky for that. Lucky? You're not lucky. You have a sovereign God. A Heavenly Father that loves you and directs us and provides and takes care of us. And what can we say? Boy, the Lord really helped me out on that. You don't have to say, oh, the Lord really worked that out. That's a stick in the mud. That's being holier than thou. No, just be yourself. Say, yeah, the Lord really took care of that. Thank you for praying. Give Him the praise due to His name. That's what being a priest is lifting up our hearts to Him and honoring Him. That's what worship is, lifting up our hearts to Him. This is one of the things I really like about the Puritans. They believed, based on what we studied this morning, the Puritans believed that every act of their life was an act of worship because it was to be done to the glory of God. Are we not to glorify God in everything that we think, say, and do? In that worship? Yeah. And that's why, that's one thing about the Puritans, is they honestly looked at their lives and everything they did 7 days a week was an act of worship. And that's what you and I should be doing as well, and praising Him and giving Him glory for it. And then finally in Romans 12:1, as priest of God, this is what we do also. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. We don't use Old English anymore, but that's why I quote it. I learned the scriptures in King James. I read ESV. Yes, I'm confused, but I'll make it all right. Beseech is an awesome word. It means to strongly encourage. So I encourage you, brothers, by the mercies of God, by God's mercy, by God's grace, that you present your bodies, which would be our whole life, everything about us, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, everything about us, a living sacrifice, holy, there's the word holy, different, acceptable to God. It's important that what I think, say, and do is acceptable to God, not anybody else. Deal with it. Which is your reasonable worship. Now, the word worship there is a crucial word here. It's a very interesting word in the Greek because it means service to the Lord based on worship. Service to the Lord based on worship. So as you and I gather here on the Lord's Day and we study His Word, we sing praises to His name, we pray, and then as a result of that and encouraging one another, we serve Him. That's worship. We don't see it as worship. Serving on committees and singing in the choir and doing everything we do, that's an act of worship, and we're led by that because of our corporate worship and the encouragement we get from each other and from the Lord. That's what a holy priest is. That's what a royal priest is. Are you ready for that responsibility? You know, God didn't say, do you want to be? He said, you are. You are a royal priest. You are a holy priesthood. He didn't give us an option. He called us to it and said, this is what you will be. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. Meditate on these passages of Scripture. Look at your life. I look at mine. There are areas I need to clean up to be a holy priest and a royal priest for God. And then we worship Him. And then comes the joy and the peace. But you know, you got to begin with Christ. You got to begin with Jesus Christ. You must have Him as your Savior. That is, you've come to a time in your life that you admit that you're a sinner, that you deserve God's wrath on your sin. But for the grace of God and His love and mercy in Christ, and you trust in Him alone, you'll never face that wrath. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please, at the close of the service, I'd love to talk to you about Christ. And if you are a believer in Christ, I want to encourage you to walk faithfully as a holy priest and a royal priest of our Heavenly Father. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for your love and your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you've called us to be priests to you, to serve you and to honor you. And I pray for all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to be obedient to you and to serve you as your priest in a manner that's acceptable to you and honoring to you. Lord, I pray for those here today who might not know Christ as Savior, that you would reveal yourself to them and draw them to yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing this closing hymn, Lord, move in our hearts by your Spirit. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about that and that you respond in obedience to Him. Shall we stand and sing? Cecilia Marie, and what a blessing that is. And also, this morning, Yolanda and Brandon met with a session and became members of the church. So, if you'll come up here, I promise him they would not have to say a thing. Because they threatened me. Come on over here, Yolanda. So, I'm keeping my end of the deal, okay? Jean and Betty, will you come and stand with Brandon and Yolanda and Cecilia? And come by and welcome them into our church family. Thank you for coming down. Remember now, based on our scripture this morning and studying, we're all priests. Boy, that has a responsibility when you think about that, doesn't it? And it really does. And so we ask that God give us the grace to be the priest that He wants us to be. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your love to us and so thankful for the life that we have in Christ. We praise you and thank you for Brandon and Yolanda and their faith in you and their walk with you. And Lord, that you have led them here to worship with us and to be a member of this part of your body. I pray your blessings upon them and Cecilia, Lord, that she'll come to know Christ at an early age. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today in worshiping you, how you've instructed us from your word. By the power of your Spirit in us, enable us to be the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood that you would have us to be. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.